God's holy days of the seventh month begin in 10 days. And Satan will do all he can to keep your mind off of them. How has this week's focus been? Where has your focus been this week? Now, there's a lot going on around the world, and nothing wrong with keeping our eyes on what's going on, being alert. But is there worry, fear, Afghanistan? How's this going to impact? Worry and fear creeping quickly, enemies of faith. Are we beginning to see the downfall of our nation on a worldwide level? And we're to sigh and cry. We see those verses in Scripture. We see the fruits of a world that is continuing to follow Satan. It is sad to see the United States of America that has been blessed, had the blessings that go back to Abraham, now receiving cursings for the very things that God said, don't do these things or there will be curses. Again, the sighing and crying is there. No one wants to see a nation we've been blessed with start to see this going downhill fast and rapidly. But has that been our primary focus through the week? You see things, you know, the hurricanes, again, nothing wrong with keeping our eye. We're to be watching and be ready. We are to see world events, but does that become our primary focus? Has our focus been on the world falling apart? Say it a lot, I know, but it's something that we see throughout the Scripture. Prophecy must take place. There will be a fall of the Western powers. We look at the United States and Britain. Think of these tribes of Israel that have come out and primarily should know better through time. And this reminder that those powers will finally cease. Can't stop prophecy. Doesn't mean we're cheering for it, but we also know what the end of the story is. Mr. Fay used to say, we read the end of the book, we win. Well, we know who helps us win. God's plan, his ways. Prophecy must take place, and God's plan will not fail. We have this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19. That hope is, again, we're getting ready to go through that reminder of that hope as we approach the fall festivals of God. Today we'll be reminded of our preparation for God's holy days of the seventh month. The title of this sermon is Ready to Remember. Ready to remember. There is a readiness that is there with remembering, memorial, found throughout all of God's holy days. To remember, you also have to prepare. Think of even occasions we have, you know, anniversaries, celebrations. You think about preparation, weeks of planning, who's going to be invited? We have a cake, what's going to be done? You think about the priority and planning for something like those events. God's holy days have wonderful meaning. There is purpose. With purpose, we must be ready. Turn over to Numbers chapter 10. We typically turn to this on the Feast of Trumpets. I just reference it. I'm going to read it here today because there's a verse at the end of this section. I want to focus on a couple key words that remind us of this readiness. Numbers chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 1. Numbers chapter 10. You see the two silver trumpets. I think a week or two, one of the sermonettes mentioned a couple of these verses. Numbers 10, verse 1. I want to cover the last verse in this section, but it leads up to it. I was going to just read the last one, but all this goes together. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the assembly and for directing the movement of the camps. It's an interesting study, verses 1 through 10. You start listing the things that these two silver trumpets were for. Different blasts, how they gave symbols of what was to do for what. Now we think of, why don't we blow these now? These were for a nation, and they heard them all year long. for what directions were to be given, what they were to do. In some regards, you think of our electronic broadcasting network, and you have the TV on, you hear the, and it's like, kind of, oh, man, that's obnoxious. What? But it catches, whoa, what's going on? And then, oh, yeah, it's just a drill. If it was actually an emergency, we'd have all these things about the end of the world for you. I've never seen them actually give anything but just a warning. But you have other things. Amber alerts. You have your phone will go off and thunderstorms coming by. You take note, maybe to some regard, kind of similar to, take note of something is blaring. What were you to do? And so we see, you shall use them for calling the assembly and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the second south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. These different blasts that were given were different ones to understand where each of these movements was to be. Verse 7, and when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance. Translations have as a statute forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Verse 10, and in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. We see a lot of direction, a lot of purposes, you know, movements of the camp. If you blew it one way, you had the whole congregation. You had another way, it was just the leaders. You had all these instructions, and then even getting to war. Think you noticed the one for war? A nation is invading. Blow the horns and warn, here they're coming in. But it's interesting, the directions that are there and how it concludes in verse 10, that they were also for the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts. This phrase that's used, the same one we looked at and heard in the sermonette, this appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months. We look at trumpets as the beginning of the month, it's a little sliver of a moon, as we heard of the full moons that have that same direction for other festivals of God. But this phrase, this word that's used, in your appointed feasts, it's again what we heard in the sermon. We won't turn back there. And one I had in my notes, he covered it great, going through Genesis 1, verse 14. And again, this reminder of the appointed feasts. Who appointed the feasts? And as we heard, Genesis 1, Father, who would become the Father, and who would become Jesus Christ, both involved. Look at later on in chapter 1, let us make man in our image. Father was not, just laid back and, let me know when you're done. You picture them both being involved. Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. And this involvement of putting the sun and the moon in their proper order, maybe they were out of circuit for a while with all that Satan had done. We think of this reminder, they put them in their perfect place. So time was able to be seen and where their appointed feasts could be given. In their seasons, that same phrase that's used is the same one that's used here in verse 10. At your appointed feasts. The same ones that go all the way back to Genesis 1 when God put sun and the moon in order to make sure you knew when his festivals were there. Love that phrase that's used. And we see, as it continues in verse 10, the end of it, and they shall be a memorial for you. A memorial for you. It's a memorial for you before your God, knowing who we're before. This word for memorial, Strong's number 2146. We'll see it in one other place that we'll focus on as well. This word is a noun meaning memorial, remembrance, a record to remind. Go through that reminder of God's perfect plan every single year because we will forget it. Well, you may remember parts of it, but you start getting away from God's holy days and you forget his plan. We're reminded every year. This focuses around not just trumpets. This emphasis here in verse 10, in your appointed feasts. Trumpets were blown at all of God's festivals. Remember, his festivals were to be kept. And that remembrance of when they were to be done as a memorial to you. You heard that trump, those trumpet sounds, like, whoa, this is the feast is here. The time to rejoice. Reminder of God's holy days. Those wonderful reminders as you heard them blown that perfect way of, God's holy days are here. How refreshing that had to be. And that reminder of those appointed feasts, what God had appointed. The similar word that's used here is the noun for memorial in verse 10. It's interesting in verse 9, it's the same word we looked at back in May 29 on the sermon Remember God Always as we went through Deuteronomy 8. And that word that's used here is with war. You go to war in your land, verse 9, against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God. This remembrance of God being there, to hear it, to remember. You're actually asking for my assistance, and you will be saved from your enemies. Think of how far we've gotten. As long as we have lots of tanks, armored vehicles, we'll be protected, and we don't need anything else. This reminders God would remember. This word for remembered here in verse 9 is a verb, meaning to remember, to mention, to recall, to think about. This one was for God here and be remembered of the people that he was to help and protect. See in verse 10, the memorial for us to remember, the days God has given, and the other things that were listed, and the day of your gladness at your appointed feast at the beginning of your months. This reminder of God setting the sun and moon in order, putting his feast days in their perfect order. We think of this remembrance that's used here in this verse 10, this memorial, primarily deals with things in the past. Not always. We think of all of God's annual festivals. Remembering the past, we think of a memorial. Memorials for different things. Think of the ones that have passed so far. Passover, sacrifice of Jesus Christ. At Egypt, that time of putting the blood on the lintels, well, it was fulfilled by the perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The days of unleavened bread coming out of Egypt and that reminder of coming out of spiritual Egypt in our life, keeping sin out, repenting when sin comes back in, going to God. And again, those days of unleavened bread that have so much meaning. We think of Pentecost, God working with his first fruits in a small harvest. Some past events, again, we think of through them, God's Holy Spirit being given on Pentecost. God's first fruits, getting that help to follow God in all areas of their life. Some past events that have occurred on the fall holy days, but most pointing to the future. Think of all the things that we're longing for and looking forward to. The seventh trump, looking forward to Satan being locked away forever. I like to say that loud because I want to make sure if he's anywhere in the room or in the shouting distance. I can hardly wait for that to happen. And then you think of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, the great white throne judgment, the things we can hardly wait for, the future we long for. the plan of God that we long for in this remembrance that points forward in this memorial. They are absolutely certain. There's not, well, I think we may skip this one when we get there. They're all going to take place exactly how God directs. We go through those days and the next month, that excitement of what they pictured. We think of how important these days are. Are we remembering them? Are we planning for them? I'm going to go through three reminders. To be ready to remember. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of R's. I tried to plan some of that. Some of it just kind of came perfectly together. So it clearly wasn't my doing. Three reminders to be ready to remember. Each of these, ready to remember. First one, as we think of, respect for the owner. Respect for the owner. Turn back to Leviticus 23. Hold the place here in Leviticus 23 back here at least one more time, if not two. Respect for the owner. Sometimes we can fly into these days, get so busy, and we kind of coast into them, and, oh, finally, I get to my trumpets. My Feast of Trumpets, oh, good. Who do these days belong to? Again, as we heard in the sermonette, they're to become our days. They're the family of God's days. They should be our days. But who owns these days? Think in Leviticus chapter 23, a few of these verses in the pastor's letter, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. The summary of this, twice already, we see who owns them. See it repeatedly throughout the book of Leviticus. I've covered it before, and it's a good one if you haven't gone through this chapter alone and look at how many times it occurs who they belong to. Oh, it's trivial. That's easy. And yet in 1995, we were told these were Jewish days. They're easy to get rid of because they're just the Jews' days. That was a lie. You think of the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. Unless you're in your busy season when you need to do a little work on the Sabbath. No, not what your verse says either. A holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Again, it gives the summation of all these holy days. These are the feasts of the Lord. Holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Here's this phrase that we saw in Numbers 10, verse 10, the same reminder, at their appointed times. And who appointed those times? Again, it wasn't us. This reminder of who these days belong to. We think of this reminder that's given here and this respect for the owner. Respect for who these days belong to. And he gives them to us to celebrate. To know his plan, to learn from it, to keep being reminded every single year. This word that's used in verse 4, proclaim, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Word for proclaim is a verb meaning to call, to declare, to summon, to invite, to read, to be called, to be invoked, be named. Think of this reminder, this proclamation. Very similar to the holy convocation that's listed. Why the Sabbath is listed with this holy convocations in this chapter of festivals of God. Why we get to some festivals and, well, you know, I'll skip Sabbath, but I'll be ready for trumpets because that's an important day. It's the exact same importance as the Sabbath. And again, you're sick, you stay home no matter what the day is. You quarantine, be careful. This reminder here, how important all of God's holy days. Every 7 days, we have that wonderful pleasure of God's Sabbath day. Do we treat it any less? Well, you know, it's just every 7 days. But trumpets is just once a year. Feast of Tabernacles, now there's the party. There's a whole week. I've got to make sure I get to that one. You know, there's been something. Oh, I want an excused absence for family members. But why are they not here? We think of the reminder here of how important all of God's festivals are, his Sabbath included. This proclamation, and we think of the same with the holy convocation that God declares holy, set apart. Do we still treat it that way? Think about how special God's holy convocations are. We do not make them holy. God sets them apart. The same words that's used in proclaim and the same for holy convocation has that same emphasis of the importance. And I've used that example in the past. You think when you get a jury duty notice, your heart kind of sinks. You don't think, oh, this is optional. You throw it in the shredder. I'm not showing up for that one. You think, okay, well, I've got to explain. I've got to make sure either I'm going on this date, I have an explanation for why I can't make it. It's not optional. We think of the Sabbath as optional. The ruler of this universe sets this in motion at its appointed time and to keep it holy because God set it holy, set it apart. Throughout this whole section and this reminder of who these days belong to. See, this whole section of chapter 23. You look at the feast of the Lord, mentioned 5 times. My feast, 2 times. Sabbaths of the Lord, 2 times. Lord's Passover, 1 time. You unleavened bread and feast of tabernacles to the Lord, 2 times. Rejoice before the Lord, 1 time. To the Lord for offerings, 14 times. I am the Lord your God, 2 times. You look at 29 times that emphasize God owns these days. God owns these days. 29 references in one chapter, and 0 for how many belong to the Jews. They weren't. They were to take them and follow them. Didn't do too well. Think of the same in our life. How many did we used to have 20, 30 years ago? They let them fall away. Will we let them fall away? These days are owned by God. Do we treat them that way? We think about it that way. Dropping down to verse 24 here in Leviticus 23, same word that we saw in Numbers 10, verse 10. Is used. This is for the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month. Why, from trumpets to the last great day, they all fall in the 7th month of God's calendar. Yeah, you look at your calendar, wait a second. Look at our Roman calendar, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. July's already passed. That was the 7th month. God's calendar. Look at the 1st month as we went through Passover, where God's plan begins. And here in the 7th month of God's perfect calendar, we think of this 1st day of the month. There's that sliver of a moon. I'm usually watching that one. It was a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago. And that the sliver, it's hard to know. You look at your calendar and it helps you know when it would fall. Looking forward to the Feast of Trumpets. You shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. The same word we saw in Numbers with the 2 silver trumpets, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. This reminder, why were they blowing them? They heard them throughout the year, beginning of each month. Oh, well, that's not trumpets. You think of when they finally got the trumpets, the only one that began on the beginning of a month. The excitement, trumpets is here. And what keeps following after it? This memorial, this remembrance to know why. Okay, it's not to move. It's not for the camp to go. It's not war. See, some of those in future events for trumpets that will take place. But what they were to remember and keep in mind, to know the appointed feasts of God, who the owner is. That memorial that again is mentioned here and that reminder for us is you see this same reminder with all of God's festivals. Think of that reminder to know what that importance is. We think of God's feast, his festivals. God calls them. How seriously do we take it? Again, sometimes we're running late for church. Don't think of you're late for church. You're late for a holy convocation that God called. They usually, I want to get there 15, 20, 30 minutes early. If I'm running late, I want to make sure this isn't just a jury duty that you can, that's important. This is a holy convocation. Are we ready for it? You know, I think of this year, always for the fall festivals, it seems like I'm always excited because I get to take notes. The spring festivals, I'm speaking most of the time, and I look for the Feast of Tabernacles. I got a brand new notebook. Can hardly wait. Got brand new pens. I don't want to run out of ink. I can hardly wait to take notes, to write down the scriptures, and go back and dig into them more. But if you're running late, you know, I've had it happen. Back in college days, you're running late, you're missing part of the hymns that are sung to God in his holy convocation. You get busy, and during the sermon, I got to get my notebook out, I got to get my Bible out instead of get them out before. Be ready for the holy convocation. We think of the importance of, again, arriving on time. Ready. Silence the cell phones. Who do you need to text with? And there are exceptions. I know people who've had relatives in the hospital and they'll keep them on vibrate. So if there's an emergency, I'm ready. But my phone's up there calling Linda Ward. It's always nice. It's always on silent because whoever's got to get a hold of me, this is a holy convocation. Get a hold of me after 2 hours. If an emergency comes up, it's a holy convocation. How important it is to make sure that we're ready for the owner of these feasts. Think about it, to really think about it as we get closer again to all these festivals of God in the fall of the year. This reminder, as we think about as we've gone through the spring holy days and what God's plan has been. As we think of this whole section, Leviticus 23, verses 5 through 22, that covers Passover, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost. Pentecost is still being fulfilled. How close are we to the Feast of Trumpets being fulfilled? Seems like it's approaching quickly. We think of Pentecost as still being fulfilled. God is still preparing his first fruits out of Satan's world. Working with them, preparing them to assist him in the future for the things that will come from trumpets on. The first fruits must overcome. They must overcome themselves, this world, and even Satan. The spring holy days point to the early spring harvest, again, which is smaller, but vital to God's plan to bring about salvation to everyone. Shouldn't puff us up. Well, clearly God would pick me for the early harvest because, wow, how could you pass up on me? Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and the weak, the beggarly. I always love the Greek word moros, or we get words moron. We're not to stay in that condition. We're to grow and develop godly, righteous character and to be developing into what God's working with us. To show someone, now we go back to high school, you can do it through Sean, I can do it too. Good, because it's not me, it's God working in my life. As we think about that importance, remembering that smaller harvest in the spring holy days, we get to the four holy days of the fall that teach us how God will intervene on the earth and establish his kingdom on this earth. A huge harvest. Right, it's a bumper crop, people that will repent and turn to God, and I want this way of life. How important that is. We think of, again, the respect for the owner. These are God's festivals. Does that make us think differently? That sometimes we can forget, well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. But whose Feast of Tabernacles is it? Are we ready to keep God's feast days? Leads us to the second of these three. The second is ready to learn. Ready to learn. Turn back to Deuteronomy. We'll be back, I think, one more time to Leviticus. Yep, one more time. Deuteronomy 14. And you know me, put another bookmark on this one because we'll be back to this one more time. Deuteronomy 14, we see all of the tithing mentioned here from verses 22 through 29. We've gone through this in a Bible study, I think in a sermon. Pull those up if you haven't done it in a while. We think of all the tithing that's mentioned in verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Whether it's first tithe, second tithe, 3 years, third tithe is mentioned. We see that mentioned later on in the chapter as well. But then we see the primary focus specifically shift to the second tithe. Verse 23, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of all your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Some of these phrases that are in here, you think of, well, the new wine, the oil. Well, you got multiple jobs. You got your job, which you're tithing on your primary job. Well, you got, you know, maybe a lawn business you're helping out and you're making money off that. Well, you tithe off of that. Your income that's coming in that God has blessed you with. Think of this agrarian society that dealt with all the crops. Well, you know, I'll just tithe on the wheat this year. I'll just tithe into the corn. And humanly speaking, then I'll tithe in the corn. I'm just going to plant a little patch of corn over here. God says, tithe on all of your increase. All of your increase. And so we see this reminder that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Learning to fear the Lord your God. That awe and respect for who these days are. What God has created. That reminder in our life of setting aside the tithe. I've mentioned this before, but a couple years ago I mentioned this in a sermon at the feast. And so I'd never heard that before. I'm like, well, it's good to reemphasize. It wasn't in one of our congregations. This reminder, second tithe still isn't yours. It's an easy one to get. Okay, I've put it in the savings. I put it aside. It's over here. It's in a separate place. And finally, I get my second tithe and I'm ready for the feast. It still is not yours. God sets it apart. You have to save this tithe. God's, it's still his. God gives it back to you to celebrate and rejoice at his festivals. How does that affect us when we're spending God's second tithe? It's not just money we've set aside. It's holy, set apart for a specific purpose, to celebrate at God's festivals. We think of this importance of ready to learn. It begins as soon as you end on the last great day, as you're starting to again start the cycle of tithing for the next year. There's always something exciting about that last month, though, as you're getting ready. It's like, finally, I know how much we've made through the year, and here's what we have to celebrate with God's festival that he's given us, those blessings, and to thank God for them. A good reminder, because it's easy to get caught up. You've saved the tithe all year long and to think, well, you know, I've set it aside. But it's still God's. You've just followed what God has given you to do. We see this direction and we see this reminder here to learn to fear the Lord your God always. Well, once we get into modern times, we don't need to learn that anymore. Think of this importance of tithing, how it teaches us trust God, a faith. Usually new people coming in is like, it doesn't work on the budget. There's no way. Well, put God to the test. Turn back to Malachi. The ones I turn to, hold your place here in Deuteronomy. Back here one more time. Lost it. Please put it. Malachi. Chapter 3, we look at Israel falling away and continually going away from God's commands. You think, well, how important was it really? Malachi chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 5. Now, but verse 4, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and fatherless, and against those who turn away an alien. We'll see all of these covered with what the purpose of the feast was, one of the purposes of the feast, and what they were to be included instead of excluded and cheated. There's no repentance. And against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. They didn't respect God or his law. Tithe. I don't need to tithe. I've seen people like that through the years. I set aside my savings and I just take what I want. Well, then you do not understand how to fear God. You get that back at the end of the year and you realize if it's savings, well, you know, if I skimp here and there, I can put that money back in savings. With God's holy second tithe, you realize God gives it to celebrate at his festivals. And at the end, you either send it back in or you've come to zero. You've used all the second tithe and you're ready to start from ground one all the way back, ready to keep the tithe again. It's not the same, and yet people think, I know more than God. I can do savings. I can do this. And no, you can't do better than God. And God addresses it in verse 8 as it continues. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Think of God said, you're robbing me. What? How have I done this? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this. Their translations say, test me. God says, put me to the test. It doesn't work on your ledger thinking there's no way tithing works. Especially when you get to the third tithe year, there's no way that this works. Yet, I love those stories of the blessings that God gives, and somehow you made more money through that third tithe year than you did in the others. Put God to the test. And God says, put me to the test. See if it doesn't work out. Says the Lord of hosts, if I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We see not just the physical blessings, but the spiritual blessings as well. Put God to the test. Don't rob God. Don't think you're the exception. Well, it clearly doesn't apply to me. Think of the importance of God's holy tithe. Think of that importance back in Deuteronomy. It's been mentioned in verse 14, chapter 14 again. And the word that's used there in verse 23, Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. It doesn't come natural. Something you learn. This word for learn is a verb meaning to study, to learn, to teach, to be taught, to be learned. And it's always interesting after someone's gone through that year of, you know, it doesn't make sense. I've added this up. There's no way I can tithe and still have money for other bills. And yet they put God to the test and, oh, it does work and it clicks. It's kind of like, I remember when the girls were little and their first year fasting. You know, we try to work with them, you know, okay, maybe two or three. When they started to understand, all right, you're not going to eat during church. I've seen kids that would eat. When they're little, it's one thing. But when they start to learn, all right, for 2 hours, you're not going to eat. There's other people, they've been fasting for 24 hours. 2 hours, no food. You can make it. You can live without the Cheerios, the bananas, whatever. But to start them thinking about it. And then the next year, you know, okay, you did great last year. You made 2 hours. Now, see if we can make it a little longer. Your goal is to go for 24. Usually, it was always the girl's decision. It was never forced. It was always, usually by the age 5, 6, 7, in that range is, all right, they've kept progressing. They've made it longer. And it's that, I'm going to die. You know, the 2 hours before sunset, I'm going to die. There's no way I can make this. And then it just clicks. They get to sunset. They eat food. I can do this. The next year, easier. Yeah, I did it last year. God helped me. And you see it each year is the progression. Same with tithing. Didn't see how it was possible. But it worked. And I saw blessings that I could have never predicted because God blessed me. We think of that same reminder to learn to fear the Lord your God always, to learn the ways of God. Again, that importance that's there. What we are to learn through God's festivals, tithing included. We see as well in Deuteronomy 18, we see a specific thing with this same word that says what you're not to learn. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsayer, or one who imparts omens or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. See this increasing more than ever. New Orleans being one of the chief headquarters of the biggest witch colony in the United States. I think St. Louis, last time I looked, was the second behind it. We look at these cities in America. We look at our education. We look at so much of what we see in movies. I can't even stand to even see the previews. Can't get to the remote quick enough to turn it off. You have these conjuring movies, so demonism, movies, TV shows called evil, wicked. Oh, we got to watch this. No, we don't. People flocking to demonism. It's amazing how many demon-possessed movies have been put out and how they continue. If people didn't watch them, they would not be being made. Because, well, we're not, that was a movie was a flop. And yet people flock to this. Opening up, hey, we want demonism in here. We love this. See us setting up for end times very quickly. A sad state that God says, do not learn these things that I hate. They're abominations. It goes through verse 12, for all the who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. You don't have to look to the world to see where they're going. We don't, well, you know, you got Christmas and Easter. Well, they're paganism, but we can put God's name on them. We have the perfect holy days that God gives us. Christmas and Easter aren't even holy. You look at what God has set apart as holy. We think of God's days, ready to learn from his days, ready to learn to fear the Lord your God always. See, back in Deuteronomy 17, think of this same governing principle that the governing kings, the kings were supposed to have this understanding. They were to write out the law. God even predicts prophecy. You're going to ask for a king. I'll give you the king. But here's what he is supposed to do. He was supposed to write out the law, have it with him, have very specific things. These are the things you do not do. Seeing in verse 18, and it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. It wasn't to just accumulate dust on a bookshelf. From the one before the priests, the original, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days and his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. This reminder to the king as well. Think of being under that type of a king, a ruler, and wow, he's studying it. You hear him quoting it. Yeah, I just read this today. This is an awesome verse. Oh, I need to be studying it too. I need to be learning it. King of Israel was to do that. Very few ever did. But that was the standard that was to be there. We think of, at the Feast of Tabernacles, we think of the longest time, the most time of being together for 7 days, and that time to rejoice. All the sermons that you're going to hear even in the next month from trumpets on, are you going to be ready? You think about it, yeah, new notebook, new pens that I mentioned, but are you going to be ready to learn? You're going to be, I want to dig into this. I can hardly wait. I heard an example a couple weeks ago that someone mentioned that they were heading down to the dance for the feast, feast family dance. Nothing wrong with going to the dance at the feast. But someone was talking to someone, I want to go back and study some. I heard some great scriptures in the sermon, so I was going to go back and study it, instead of going down to some other activity. Think of ready to learn, excited about it, looking forward to those sermons that are coming. You'll hear many statements you've already heard, but we all must be reminded. I turn to Leviticus 23 every time because we're given these holy days every single year to review what they mean. And it springboards into the rest of the sermon, into the rest of the Bible. We think of this reminder to dig into God's word. What was Christ's example? Turn back to Luke chapter 2. Final one under the second point. Luke chapter 2. This in the spring of the year, the spring festivals. See in verse 40, the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This does not mean they didn't go to the other two seasons of the year. This is emphasizing this was Passover time, unleavened bread, and they went every year. They went every year to the Feast of Tabernacles and the fall festivals and to Pentecost, all three seasons of the year. Think of this, at 12 years old, verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to be in the company, many, they went a day's journey, sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Think of 2 days already. You're thinking you're 12-year-old. Here's back in Jerusalem. You've gone 1 day. Now you're back 2 days. And it takes another day to find them. Verse 46, Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" I always think about what that had to be for Mary. I've lost the Son of God. How did this... Think of what she went through. Think of any mother. Those times even in stores where that split second of, where'd my kid go? Oh, whoa. And it's the relief of finally seeing him again. Oh, think of what this was like. "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement that he spoke to them. I think on many levels what Christ was talking about, maybe one of them being, why didn't you come to the temple first? It's interesting they didn't come back and, well, let's check the arcades and the video game room. Maybe I'm dating myself, not many arcades anymore. The go-kart tracks, he's got to be out there, he's 12 years old, he's all here for the activities. Nothing against arcades and go-karts, they're fun. But do you think that was the primary purpose? Here he's sticking around, digging it. What about this verse? Can you explain this? He was wanting to learn. And this emphasis, I must be about my father's business. Any prophetic mentions of this? We also see this, I must. It wasn't, I must do this. Must. It was something that was exciting. I want to learn about this. I want to be doing my father's business. It's what I was sent here to do. How exciting that was. We think of Christ, again, perfect example. He wasn't rushed to get home. Our attitude, sometimes that last great day, as long as I hit the morning service, then I can head back and be home, so I've got plenty of rest for the job in the morning. The last great day is holy until the sun goes down. What else have you got to do? Yeah, you may be a little more run down the next day, but you're going to have more knowledge of God's ways in your notebook, and you've dug into the Bible more, and picturing what the future holds. Don't be rushed heading home. We think of that emphasis. Learn to fear the Lord your God always. Ready to learn. Ready. Got to make sure we're ready to learn. The third and final of these remembrances in these points, the third one, remember to rejoice. Remember to rejoice. God gives us these holy days as reminders of his perfect plan. These are not vacation days. It'd be easy to confuse at times. Well, I had to take vacation days off from work, but they're not vacation days. These are God's holy days. And, you're trying to explain, well, where are you going, a vacation? And the quick answer, yeah, I'm vacation. How much do they really want to know? You're trying to, they're God's days. I'm going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The what? And if they want to go, usually it's, I don't want to hear anymore. That's good. You're weird. going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow, that's in Leviticus 23. It shows all of God's days. Oh, I thought those were Jewish days. Nope. Read through the chapter. They're God's days. They're precious. And I'm going to go celebrate those days. That reminder of what God's days picture. They're not vacation days. Do not get it confused. They're commanded assemblies before God to rejoice. What a mean God. He wants you to go there and rejoice with the tithe that you set aside that's his. And he's like, take it and go rejoice at my festivals. We think of that importance. Leviticus 23, held your bookmark. That's the last place. And take that bookmark out now for Leviticus. We see the Feast of Tabernacles mentioned. See, dropping down to verse 40. Temporary dwellings, reminder of Israel coming out of Egypt, being in temporary dwellings. We also see, reminder, we're physical. We're in temporary dwellings. We're longing for what comes after. Verse 40, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Get a command to rejoice. This isn't, it's not that important, but if you'd like to rejoice, that's nice. You're to rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Ezra and Nehemiah's time, I think it's Nehemiah, I love that, both of those books, as they're coming back out of captivity, and they're having the book of the law read again to them. And there's, oh no, I'm not doing that right. Oh, I've got to repent of this. And they start to be ready to fast during the time from trumpets to the last great day. And they're told, no, this is a time to rejoice. You've got to rejoice before God. You can repent after the days. And 2 days after is when they put on sackcloth, fasted before God of their sins. But how important it was. No, you're to remember what's to come in the future. To remember what this time to rejoice is all about. To think about what the future holds and how precious it is. This again, to rejoice. This word to rejoice means to be joyful, to be glad, joy. What do these days picture? How important are they? Turn back to Deuteronomy 14. Held your place there. My bookmark fell out. Deuteronomy 14. Also mentions it here as we covered verses 22 through 23. As you think of Mary and Joseph with Christ, it was about a 55-mile journey when they would go to the feast, here unleavened bread, and coming back. You think of the preparation involved to get ready to make that journey. And we see in verse 24 to 25, if you have a long journey, you can take those things and sell them and then take the money and then go rejoice at God's festival. Where we see then in verse 26, and you shall spend that money. Why? We know this is not the first tithe. First tithe was not to be spent. It was to be given to at the temple and the sanctuary, given to God for what God had intended it for. We see here, you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. It's a phrase a few years ago, I still remember a sermon by Len Martin that, you read that phrase, but he made a statement that I still think about to this day, and I probably mention it every time I read it, because I think about it every time I read it. Spend that money for whatever your heart desires. God finds out what your heart desires. Oh, it's a big screen TV. Well, how do you come before God to rejoice with a big screen TV? You see, it's very specific things mentioned of how to rejoice and spend this money. But he doesn't put a whole lot of requirements here. This isn't to replace Christmas. Oh, good, we got money. We'll just throw out gifts everywhere. This is to spend at the feast before God. And we think of for whatever your heart desires. It goes through fine foods, things that you really wanted to eat, that you've enjoyed, to rejoice at his festival. For whatever your heart desires, and he goes through some of those examples. For oxen, or sheep, or wine, or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires. Again, in moderation, we're not to be gluttons. We're not to be, fine, they can get drunk. It's to be in moderation, but what about a fine bottle of wine, something you've never got all year long? I've always wanted to try that, and I will use God's money to enjoy that. We think of rejoicing, whatever your heart desires, but God will find out what your heart truly desires. Where's our focus? Nothing wrong with enjoying food and drink at the feast in moderation and in rejoicing. But we see, you shall eat there before the Lord your God. This isn't the option to stay home. Now again, there are those who are not able to be at the feast. Physical health difficulties, not able to. There are reasons. But this is talking of, well, you know, I think this year I've got a lot of money and I'll stay home and I can really, boy, I can use this money on painting the house. I can use it on other things. I'll still get the webcast. Where God places his name. Not our choice. It's where God places his name. And you think about whatever your heart desires, specifically talking of food and drink, but also to eat before the Lord your God. Again, we don't pray in open places. At the restaurants, do you think about it when you get home or in the morning before you go out, praying and thinking, thanks for that wonderful meal we had last night. It was from your tithe that you gave back to us, and we really enjoyed it. We were able to take out this widow. We were able to go do this. Thank you for letting us come before you as we ate. Think about who we're coming before. Think of this reminder, and as it concludes this verse of verse 26, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Not just about me. Well, I made most of the money through the year, so they got bread and water, but I got the good stuff. It's to rejoice as a family. And I know I've mentioned that in the past. You know, it's Shirley cocktails. The girls are a little Shirley cocktail. Oh, we usually get water. Yeah, because we don't got a lot of money through the year, so we're saving money. Who needs a Coke anyway? Get over it. Now use the money. God says rejoice. Enjoy it. We think of that as a family. Again, it reminds us, whatever your heart desires, it would remind us to take care how we spend God's holy tithe. God learns how we listen. He learns where our heart truly is at. Turn back to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Whole section we've gone through when we went through chapter 14 of tithes. It's interesting you can see the delineation between first and second because you see where you can spend it on yourself and where God has placed his name. Deuteronomy 12, verse 17 and 18. We get again to the second tithe here. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain or your new wine or your oil or the firstlings of your herd or your flock of any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offering or of the heave offering of your hand. Again, there are reasons people have to stay home for health difficulties, but this is not a choice of, you know, this year, yeah, I could webcast the whole thing and, boy, I could use this money for a lot of other things. Not what God commands. Verse 18, but you must eat them. Proper translation here is it. Them is referring to the tithe. You must eat it before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses. You and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite who is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. We think of family, the emphasis here. We also see in Deuteronomy 16, turn here as we get close to the offering, reminder of preparing to give that offering to God, thanking him for those blessings. Deuteronomy 16, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost is reviewed, very similar to what we just read. Something else is reminded here that includes all the festivals. You shall rejoice, I'm sorry, verse 11, helps if I tell you the verse, Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. We see this same emphasis through the rest of the Bible. stranger, the widow, the fatherless, to keep an eye out for them. Well, the widow usually doesn't have an income that comes in, and so they'll set aside money through the year. I want to keep the feast, but here's what I have. And so, wow, we got to take them out, help them be a part of the family and to enjoy that time. The thing is, well, the stranger, I always love it when it's mentioned earlier in the feast. How many of you who are here for the first time and you see those few hands that will shoot up? Oh, it is so good to kind of look around, see if there's someone close to you in your area and get to know them. Generally, those people haven't been able to tithe all year. They started to come in midway through the year, but they've chosen to be at the feast. Oh, I've got some tithes saved up and I want to be there. And you think, oh, think about it. Invite them out. Try to get to know them. Again, that encouragement that's there. We think of, again, those reminders as we eat before the Lord our God at His feasts. We do it as a family, physical family, spiritual family. We think of how important to not exclude anyone, to look for how we can help and serve the servants, how we can serve at the feast. You know, so many areas that will pop up, things we can do to help. There'll be areas that, you know, between ushering or other things, if you're able to help, maybe going back and praying, helping others, asking for help through what others are going through. Not always about what we do, but if you're able to help. Some years where, well, my health, I wasn't able to. So primary focus is, again, your family. Don't neglect your family. Well, I got to do this. I got five different things I'm doing. I might meet you for dinner in time. I'll see if I get there in time. Don't neglect the family. To rejoice before the Lord your God, where He has placed His name. But again, look for ways to serve. Serve as a family. Love that, as a family. You enjoy the time. I had parking duty one year, and you know, the girls, they know how to wave a flashlight and direct the traffic. Don't get hit. Always a good point. None of them did. They handled it well. But as a family, enjoy, hey, and then we go off together. We're able to serve together. Another verse you can put in your notes, Philippians 4, verse 4, again reminds us to rejoice before the Lord always. Rejoice. Reminder to rejoice. God's festivals are, again, one of the primary places. Looking up rejoice is a great one that, again, goes through all of God's festivals. You think of the excitement that comes from God's plan as it continues to point to what the future holds. These fall festivals are ones that continue to point to that time where Satan will be locked away. God's laws will be taught. They'll be sought. Turn to a final place over in Micah chapter 4. It's a fun one to find at time. I have one person in the room who knows where it is immediately. Micah should. Old joke, I'm sorry. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, if that helps you, because I'm usually saying that so I can hit one of those chapters. Micah chapter 4. So many hundreds of verses that, you know, you won't get them all covered at the feast, but hopefully you're digging into some of them. The correspondence course, I love the old 32 lesson one, is good reminders, verses to dig into and remember. Think of Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. We think of the governments of this world will come to nothing. They'll have to come under God's authority. They'll have to repent. Why? We don't get caught up in the things of this world. Oh, if only we had Trump still around, he would have handled this week just fine. Well, Biden's, or he should have done this, or he should. The kingdom of God is the kingdom we long for. We look to the kingdom when all kingdoms of this world will be under. I'll have to submit. There'll be others that won't want to. They won't all. There'll be those that will, I don't need to go to the feast this year. God doesn't force them. You don't have to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and you don't have to have rain for the next year. You think of that importance. They're going up to the mountain. God's mountain. Verse 2, many nations, doesn't say all. Time, they will repent. Be thrown in the lake of fire, ultimately, if they don't want to follow God. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the law, word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Those that say the kingdom of God is now, this verse is not fulfilled. Kingdom of God is not now. We're looking forward to that future time, the time when people will long for God's laws. You look at the exact opposite today. We don't need God's laws. Throw them out. We know way more than God. Look at how well that is working. People will start, that's why the blessings are there. That's why it's working. I'm not trying to rip this guy off. I'm trying to be truthful, and he's going to be truthful back. And look at how the blessings are of following God's way. We see in verse 3, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. And the judgment will still be there. Judgment of repent. Turn back to God. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. You know, how refreshing. What will that be like? The trillions upon trillions of dollars spent in our country alone on warfare. That other nations won't want to follow God. You're going to have some in areas. They may want to even get closer to water. They haven't had water for a year. Well, we know how to build aqueducts. We know how to get close to water sources, and we can take care of ourselves for a while. When Satan is released, you see a time where it appears that it goes to areas where they're near water that will follow and go back and want to follow Satan. We think of this reminder, not all, but those faithful of putting their faith back in God. You know, you got a sword. You can use it now for agriculture, to plow up the ground. Well, what about these other nations that aren't repenting? God's there for you. He'll protect you. All right. And them making the instruments, going through and being ready to plant, ready to do what God has commanded them. Verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Of this peaceful time, you think of this future. It won't be us. We're praying at that seventh trump. We've done our diligence, that we've continued to endure to the end. We change in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be there to serve those humans at that point, to serve and help, teach them these important things. And the reminders is there, the blessings. And why now at the feast, we have the blessings that remind us of that future time. You think of what we see today in the verse 5, for all people walk in the name of his God. You look at society today, money, power, fame, they're all according to their gods. What rules in their life? But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. What is that future going to be like? We can hardly wait for it. We are to remember what that wonderful world tomorrow will be like and rejoice. We are reminded of that now. Think of that reminder to rejoice. Why that rejoice is there? Because it's God's plan. It will take place. We can hardly wait for it to happen. The Feast of Trumpets is 10 days away. The beginning of the fall festivals of God. It's It's a little humbling to think as well that 1 month from today, September 28th, we will be keeping God's last great day. How quickly things will happen in a month. It will go quickly. Will we be ready to remember these days and what they picture? God's days. Or will it fly by? No, yeah, there's not enough time. You think of sometimes you get to the Sabbath, I've just got to hurry up and fly into the Sabbath. I'm not working anymore, but I'm still catching my breath from the week. And don't let it happen to us. I'm ready for the Sabbath. You know those Sabbaths that you're like, I'm ready an hour before and I've got everything ready. I can rest. I can follow God's command to rest on his Sabbath. You think of the same with the fall festivals and all of God's festivals. Be ready for them. They will fly by, as we always told the girls, especially as little kids, of we're unpacking. It's going to be a blink of an eye. We're packing to go home. Don't let it go by too quickly. Keep remembering what those days are. So we look at those three reminders. Respect for the owner. These are not our days. Second of all, ready to learn. Third, remember to rejoice. God's holy days of the seventh month are exciting, and we will go through the meaning as we progress through each one of them. God intervening on this earth, Satan being bound for 1,000 years, how God will give a chance for all mankind to be reconciled to him in a wonderful world tomorrow. We look forward to what these fall festivals picture in God's perfect plan. Let's be ready.